Welcome, folks, to The Uncommon Good with Bo Bonner and Dr. Bud Maher. Every week, diving deep into the truth of Catholic social teaching and restoring all things in Christ. The Uncommon Good, live from Iowa Catholic Radio's Mercy Live Up Studios.
The Uncommon Good is on the air. I'm Bo Bonner.
I'm Bud Maher, director of the National Institute for Newman Studies.
And we are coming to you from America! America! Bud, you know, I listened to the show last week without me, and I think I got made fun of multiple times. So much so that I thought maybe when I was going to go to the door, Tony Calumet, director of Iowa Catholic Radio, would be like, "Hey, Bo, why don't you come with me? We got something we got to talk to you about." And then I'd be told that Katie took over the show, and you guys were going to go for your more NPR format where everything's settled down and everything like that. So I almost was tempted to come in and just scream as loud as possible, "The Uncommon Good's on the air." But, you know, I thought that might be too much for folks.
It was great fun. It reminded me of those old reality TV shows where, like, Trading Spaces and, like, a parent will go to a different house. And Katie texted me right before the show and said, like, "I don't think I can do the, like, you're like, we're on the air."
Yeah.
Like you pull it off. And so it had this relaxed vibe. But I thought she did great. Midway through, I was worried that Katie was going to precipitate a coup. And, like, it got sort of personal. She was going after your home state,
etc. That's right. Well, I thought, man, yeah, it's all like the next week. The Uncommon Good with only Katie Patrizio.
Yeah.
We've both been eliminated.
We've both been booted.
Yeah, no, that was also funny, too, like you were saying, with the whole jabs at Oklahoma. It was true, actually, Katie Patrizio, if you're listening. We did go on vacation to Oklahoma, and it's fantastic, actually. Have you ever been to the Philmont Museum, Bud, or ostensibly Katie? I'm guessing no, and I want to tell you, they have one of my favorite paintings there that is famous. It's by Bergio. It's The Shepherdess. It is, I mean, just go look it up, but if you get a chance to go to Tulsa, the Philbrook is a fantastic museum. And so all I'm going to say is, with pure love out of my heart, lay off Katie Patrizio.
Yeah, I felt bad because in my mind, I don't know, and when you think of vacation Oklahoma, like, this isn't even me dissing you because this is the things that I like too, but I pictured you like going to rodeos and like eating, you know, the burritos, whatever.
That happened,
like,
yes.
Delicatessen.
Yeah.
Like, it was a very cultured experience as well, apparently.
Yeah, well, we do that, and then we went to the Omniplex, or the Oklahoma Science Center, which is fantastic. I remember going to space camp when I was little there, so I got to dork out and show my kids that. But we did do things like Elias caught his first fish, and it was a bass that put every bass I've ever caught to shame. And he really thinks he's a fisherman now, so that's cool because I am not great at it. That's pretty Oklahoman. We also went on a train, like a little miniature train that my granddad, who loved trains, in the Kiwanis Park in Enid, Oklahoma, we got to ride that, eat my favorite non-authentic Mexican burritos, like I lovingly call white trash burritos from Enid. So we did a lot of oaky things, but yes, we also went to a museum. So, but no, at any rate, I was really impressed. I want to thank Katie for filling in. And like I said, I got to listen to it, you know, as a listener, you know, for one of the first times. And it was really great to hear you guys. Sound like you guys had a blast.
It was fun. But if anybody there at the station, Bo, tries to hand you a rose, don't take it.
Okay.
No, the rose keeps you on the show. I forget how it goes.
We'll get voted off somehow is the point. Well, this is all coming from Iowa Catholic Radio's Mercy Live Up studio here in Des Moines, Iowa. As Bud said, he's out in Pittsburgh, the director of the National Institute of Newman Studies. I'm the director of Mission and Ministry over at Mercy College of Health Sciences, and also director of the Zeta Institute for Foundations in Ethics and Leadership. We're glad to join you today. We were going to have a guest. We were going to have the new president of Mercy College, Dr. Doug Fiore, but actually yesterday, as he was giving his sort of state of the college address, he lost his voice, and so he can't speak. And I know Bud and I can have some esoteric radio, but I'm pretty sure the most boring radio you might hear is someone who can't talk. So we're going to wish him well. Prayers from St. Blaise that his throat gets better. But Bud and I, speaking of rodeos, we're going to go about this rodeo all on our own. How does that sound, Bud?
No, that works. I've got a few ideas I'm bouncing around in my head. So this will be fine. Sounds like a convenient excuse, President Fiore. No, I'm joking.
We'll get him on air as soon as we can. As always, we are brought to you and underwritten by Mercy College of Health Sciences. Like I said, a new president. We can't wait to have him on the air to get to talk about this. But we have all sorts of things, mchs.edu, for you to check out. We have no wait list, an RN to BSN, a healthcare administration, and health information management programs you can do online, an accelerated BSN, all sorts of stuff going on. Bud, we had the famous Liberal Arts and Sciences picnic yesterday, and for once it wasn't 1,000 degrees, so that made eating ice cream a lot easier.
Well, you know, that's kind of all the important stuff you guys do, and that's the programs and whatnot, but I did notice your new logo. It looks good, and I think it actually harkens to the Catholic identity of the place really well, so I was impressed with that.
Yeah, it's kind of like, it's almost like a not getting you thrown into an institution Rorschach test, because you can see an M, you can see an H, you can see stained glass windows. It's all pretty cool. So you might want to check that out, mchs.edu. And then, as always, underwritten by Cartridge World. But we usually come up with some pretty nifty ways to talk about the things you might be using, print ink for. I haven't thought of anything today.
With Independence Day coming up, you're probably going to need paper printing supplies, whether that's like crafting flyers for your fireworks display or printing off signs to like tell people to flush the toilet if they use your bathroom.
That's true. Yeah. That reminds me, when we do our big 4th of July shindig, when we have it at our uncle's, we have so many family members, he rents a porta potty and the guys have to go outside. Yep. And so he has a sign that says guys outside. So, you know, you print that enough, you're going to start eating through all of that printing cartridge stuff. And what do you need to do, bud?
Go to Cartridge World. Yep. Exactly 801 right. 73rd Street, Windsor Heights, 515-564-7400. For business customers, pickup and delivery are available.
So this is the Uncommon Good. When you get back, it will be Bud and I, but we're going to have a great time. Stick around after these messages. So, Bud, you probably just heard that. We respond to the people, Bud. People have not loved the eagle screech. I think some people have loved it a lot, but the people who don't like it don't like it a lot. So responding to the people, at least for this week, we have the cat screech, actually a meow. But if you have other input for the show, Bud, guess where they can go if they have input for the show?
I'm guessing that cat meow just got me.
Yeah.
I think I suggested like a jaguar roar as a replacement, but...
I went cat meow.
No, I'm guessing you're sending them to the Zip-Whip line.
That's right, 515-223-1150. But I don't think you need to make that quiet, Jeb. You can throw that one up a bit. So 515-223-1150, the Zip-Whip! And if you have ideas for us or questions or other animals you might like to be our show bumpers, let us know. This is the Uncommon Good. We'll be back after this break.
Rock Valley Physical Therapy, dedicated to your health and well-being. Serving patient needs to making better lives, we have outstanding outpatient physical therapy, occupational hand therapy, and sports medicine rehabilitation. Rock Valley offers unprecedented one-on-one care. With 7 convenient locations in the Des Moines Metro to the Southwest Iowa area, we serve the entire diocese. For more information, rockvalleypt.com or 515-221-1621. Rock Valley Physical Therapy, making better lives.
Since 1924, St. Vincent de Paul has been helping those less fortunate work towards self-sufficiency. Last year, St. Vincent de Paul helped over 20,000 individuals with food, clothing, and shelter, while also offering classes in financial literacy, high school completion, career readiness, and prisoner reentry. SVDPDSM.org, 515-282-8327. Shop, donate, volunteer, serve. This message was brought to you by Homemakers Furniture.
Support for the Uncommon Good is provided by Cartridge World. Cartridge World is an industry leader delivering high-performance printing products that help you save time, money, and print great.
Perfect for businesses, home offices, college students, or busy moms trying to find affordable printing supplies, including ink, toner, paper, or printers. For business customers, pickup and delivery are available. Products are guaranteed or full replacement.
Cartridge World, your low-cost, environmentally friendly printing experts. 801 73rd Street in Windsor Heights, 515-564-7400, and online at cartridgeworld.com.
Support for Dowling Catholic Sports is provided by Two Rivers Glass and Door, providing commercial glass and aluminum storefronts. 515-222-4860. Joe at tworiversglass.com.
We're back with the Uncommon Good. Bo Bonner and Dr. Bud Marr. Bud, we've already got feedback about the cat's meow, but it was actually from you. You're worried that we're being passive-aggressive. I actually just think that we're being jovial and willing to hear the full gamut of God's creatures and the various yelps and shrieks that they make.
Well, I'm nervous to throw any of our listeners under the bus, but I just had a couple people say to me that if they're listening to the show and the Eagle Street screech comes on, like in the radio or something, it actually frightens them. And Jeb said it's strange because in the studio the volume sounds fine, but he went back and listened to one of the recorded episodes, and it is loud.
Alarming.
So I don't know if there's a middle ground. I've also had a couple of people say to me, like, they don't know the background to the Eagle Screech, and it's just, like, sort of disorienting.
But you talked about the, mystery, Bud, right? You're like, ooh, mystery. So, anyway, really, you know, we have the Zip Whip line, the 515-223-1150. We have the ways that you guys want to, you know, get involved. I know that right now we're talking about people who also listen in Oklahoma, and I know it's not live. But if you leave anything on the line, even if it's not the day we're playing, if you put hashtag UCG, that is a way to leave a message for us. And at this point, I just think we're going to open it up. You know, we have to have these bumpers between the broadcast and then the regional lines that we do. So we have a bumper between those. So we're taking entries. You have an animal that makes a noise, just send it to the Zip Whip line with hashtag UCG. And if we can track down that animal noise, we'll use it for a bumper. How does that? I mean, that's like democracy at work, Bud. I'm pretty proud of us.
Yeah, and maybe for the best recommendation, we'll like name it after you, like the the Brian Gonzalez Panther Roar.
the Cuban Panther. I like it. Yeah, that's his new nickname now. I don't even know if he's listening, but that's just happened. If you like esoteric ramblings like this, I know we try to stay on subject usually when we're live on the radio, but Bud, there's a place where we have unfettered thoughts that we go and explore things like, you know, which animal voices actually match up to our friends. That actually might be what we need to talk about. If you want to go to our Patreon account, so www.patreon.com/ICR, ICR for Iowa Catholic Radio, we have our exclusive content that if you become a donor, just $5 a month, we try to make exclusive recordings that are a lot of fun, a little bit of background into the warped minds going into Uncommon Good. This is a way for us to help Bud, you get out of the well. We're not saying you sound horrible, Bud. But we think you can improve. That's like a compliment sandwich sort of there for you, Bud. So the way that we're going to do this, of course, is with a Comrex Opal. But if you want to go over there and if you enjoy having fun, the fun continues over at patreon.com/ICR. I hope that's been renewing the glitter and glam in your life, Bud, having the Patreon account.
Oh, the Patreon account's been a lot of fun. And I do want to get out of the well. I thought maybe we could do a recording of me sounding like I'm falling into a well. So, save me. But yeah,
that's what you would do if you were falling into a well, is just,
just kind of like blandly, guys, hello. No, onto more serious matters with today's show. You know, Bo, I don't know about you, but when I'm out and about and I tell people like I have a radio program and they start asking about it, the Uncommon Good, what's that about? And we talk about like our show dealing with Catholic social teaching, dealing with the common good, but calling it the uncommon good because it's a topic that sometimes gets lost a little bit in the weeds, I feel like.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't know about you, but one response that I get is like, oh, so you talk about politics. What do you say to listeners who ask you that?
Yeah, I think people like want immediate, they're like, oh, so like literally the news we found out 30 minutes ago, you guys are going to talk about right now, right? And, you know, there's a few things to bring up on that one. One is, so Bud and I think, you know, we read books, we pay attention, we look at the news tweets, but we are not political scientists, nor would I say that I'm anywhere nearly informed enough to make off-the-cuff, you know, from-the-holster decisions about what is it that the church really is going to say or come down on, or what is the wisest thing that we can look at on any one particular thing bombarding the airwaves on TV, or, like we said, blowing up your Twitter feed. What I say is what we try to do is get at a much deeper level the sort of principles, the meat and potatoes of what it means to have a Catholic view of the social order, but also the supernatural order and how those two things go together, so that what come what may, whatever problem shows up in your news feed, the Uncommon Good might do a better job of helping you take a step back and interpreting it. So I don't know, but if like you have a shorter way to put that, but I try to tell people that we try to go deeper and prior to arguments about left and right, prior to arguments about which political decision immediately on the horizon needs to be made and said, what is the well, to go back to that metaphor, that we draw the water from that's going to give us the ability to talk about these things?
Well, Bo, in all seriousness, when I say this, for me, the show has been great because I feel like I'm still growing into these topics, and I see our show as like an ongoing conversation about them. And, one of my favorite interviews of this past year was with our friend Brandon McGinley talking about detachment parenting. Mm-hmm. And he was saying, like, one of the big temptations in American society today is to say, I want a certain outcome for my children, education-wise, where they live, how much money they make. And he said, as a parent, he had to come back to, like, what's the eternal destiny of my children? How do I parent in such a way that I'm not attached to even, like, what might be good for my children's life, but it's all subordinated to knowing God and loving God? And I feel like with our show, we have sort of detachment politics.
Yeah.
Like, we want to talk about how the issues that we're wrestling, the goods that we share in common, how do we orient those towards eternal ends? And what's paradoxical to me about the Christian faith, one thing is that, you know, like Christianity, what we say is like all of our lives need to be directed towards that end. And the paradoxical part is by doing so, we actually foster the good of our communities.
Well, one of the things, and like you said, I am not degrading political participation. Yeah. I like how you said this about detachment politics. We don't mean you shouldn't participate in the political order. We mean you should cultivate a detachment about this. One way, bud, I'm going to go on record, record this, that
okay.
Facebook helps our spiritual life in this regard. Is, you know how Facebook shows you like things you said a year ago or 3 years ago?
Yeah.
And like you'll get that random Facebook post where like you were, you know, I'm talking to myself now, frothing at the mouth about the current like big deal about the news of the day. And you look back and you go like, oh, wow. That is like an ephemeral bubble on the top of a bathtub that has popped and no one cares about anymore. And it's funny about how it's not that we shouldn't participate in the politics of the day. And we've always said the more local, the better. You know, there were just elections, and I wonder how many people went and voted for them, you know, the local ones.
Yeah.
But beyond that, you have to not white-knuckle grip politics because nothing will seem more out of date than like so – another example, living in Iowa, which has been sort of a trip. You know, if you don't know this, if you live in Iowa, you do, or you've been like hiding under a rock. For anybody else that listens, Des Moines is like the first place all of these presidential hopefuls show up for, and they do it early. And I've heard that, but then I lived it, you know, by moving up here. And goodness gracious, everybody and their cat who thinks they're going to be presidents hanging out like at Chintro, just like sitting on the curb, like president, 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 right?
Yeah.
What's crazy is they all put up billboards all throughout Des Moines, and those billboards stay up for months after the actual candidate has gone away and after the actual election has happened. And what a better, I mean, it's just such a great poetic device of like put not your trust in princes, because it's all like random guy, random gal for president. And you're like, man, if you hold on too tight for all of this, you will look like an old bumper stick or billboard. And nothing looks more dated in like an old picture than a political bumper sticker. And that's even including like mullets, which are technically making their way back, bud.
I don't know what
people,
to say to that.
On a few people.
Is this something you're imposing on your son?
No. But like, because Mike Gundy's done it, my dad, my Bob Bonner of all people is growing his hair out. Not quite a mullet, but he's growing it out. So now my kids are like, should we get mullets? And I'm like, I never thought I'd live to see this day. But anyway, back to the series.
Well, Well, as you were speaking, you know, one thing, it's kind of funny because you can give these, like you can be talking in conversations this way about like, the eternal destination of goods and different things like the values that Catholics hold. And then at the end of it, people always do want the brass tacks. And it's like, so who do I vote for then? Or what do I do now? You know? And as Christians and as Catholics, I feel like we're always wrestling with this.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you go back to the Gospels, and I've heard some preachers say, like, and they had good intentions, that Jesus wasn't political. And I see what they're sort of getting at. Like, he's not political sort of like in the way we describe presidential candidates as being political.
Right.
But he was very forthright and brass tacks about, like, how we should handle our money, how we should relate to other Christians, the poor. Like, he even set up ways for Christians to, like, confront each other, right, if
yeah.
there's if they have a beef with each other. And to me, a lot of this goes back to, Bo, like, how do we describe Christ? Like, I heard people say, well, he was a revolutionary. And then you get to the passion narratives, and Pilate sort of questioned him, like, so what, like, what is your ultimate goal in all of this? And Jesus says, my kingdom's not of this world.
Right.
And I think, again, listeners hear that, and they say, like, oh, so he's, like, it's a different kind of idea. Like, it's out of this
right.
world.
Yeah.
But I think what Jesus is saying is, like, no, the authority that I hold, which as readers of the gospel, we know, like, it's authority over the entire universe, it's not granted by any temporal authority. And so, therefore, like, by going to the cross, Jesus exposes the principalities and powers, those who claim to have power over our lives, as, like, not actually possessing the power they claim to have.
Well, you know, what I think is important is I don't mind saying that Jesus is political or faith is political if we just
yeah.
are honest about what the word politics mean. We've truncated it so bad. What we mean when we say politics is either party politics or the news cycle of politics. Like,
mm-hmm.
so, you know, I think an ancient medieval person, beyond the fact that, like, if we showed them an iPhone and showed them Apple News, there's a lot of stuff that will freak them out about that, bud. Okay, so after you go down the list of the 100 things that is freaking out an ancient time traveler who looked at a cell phone, and after they recovered from all of this idea that you can, like, have a man talking to you in a handheld box, one thing that they would think is weird is that you can put into, like, Apple News or, like, on Facebook or whatever that one of your one of the things you like, one of the things you are into are politics, as if it's a choice. Like, it's,
yeah.
You know, that to them would be weird, because what that means is you're a news junkie or you like, party politics. But what they would say is you are irreducibly a political animal, because, political just comes from polis, which means city, and you all belong to some sort of city. What I'm trying to say is, going back to Augustine, is there is the city of God and the city of man. The gains you will get from investing deeply in the city of man, you have to hold in a detached manner. That means that you don't ignore it, but that you don't grip it such that acting like holding it will make it not go away. All of the cities of this earth are fleeting. All glory that we earn here is non-permanent. But the city of God, the treasures that we lay up in heaven is permanent. And I think about this in terms of the saints. When we talk about who are citizens par excellence, but like when we say citizenship, I want to imitate someone who is a good citizen. We inevitably think of people who are citizens in this passing way in the passing city. And I don't, again, want to denigrate that, because there are people who make great sacrifices for civil rights, for workers, for religion, for all sorts of things.
Yep.
But the citizens par excellence are the saints, because they are citizens of heaven where all of their efforts are permanent. And so I think about today. Today is the Feast of Our Lady of Perpetual Help. For you who are listening later, of course, we broadcast on Wednesday. So Wednesday the 27th is the Feast of Our Lady of Perpetual Help. I have an especial devotion to her, because in my life, when I tried to make too many plans, they were all, you know, they were thwarted. So I turned that over to Mary, especially in her apparition of Our Lady of Perpetual Help. And I started to realize, you know, we're bad at making plans, but the saints are much better at it. And that's because I think the saints are alive and living in God. I do not think they're dead. I think they are here with us in whatever particular way that works out metaphysically. We don't have to figure out on the show all at once. But I turn over so many things to Our Lady of Perpetual Help, many other saints besides. That doesn't mean that they magically answer everything that I've ever asked, but that I think that I'm putting it into a group of trustworthy friends, co-heirs, and also a community, a real polis, that they are citizens of the city of God, and that they have our best interest in mind if we let them. And so sometimes, but I guess when I hear people ask our show, well, what are you about? Are you going to talk about
yeah.
this immediate problem in the news? I go, well, are we thinking about this in terms of only the politics of the city of God, or do we believe that the city of God, I mean, the city of man, or do we believe that the city of God has something to do with the city of man? And do we ever entrust these things that we're confused by to the citizens of the city of God? And I hope that our show helps people realize this connection is of the utmost importance.
Yeah, I really like, Bo, how you bring it back to the saints there. And that kind of, that gets at my idea of, like, once you order your life towards eternal goods and turn it all over to divine providence, it gives you this kind of freedom that you wouldn't have otherwise. Like, if we don't imitate the saints, we will inevitably be depressed about who's elected or, like, the direction of our finances, whatever it happens to be. But you look at the lives of the saints, and they were so filled with the Spirit that, you know, like, I've been amazed always thinking about, like, St. Isaac Yogue and the Jesuit martyrs, mm-hmm. like, returning to a tribe that had already tortured them, or, like, St. Teresa of Lisieux, like, facing death at a young age, and the kind of joy that she was able to, like, live out in those circumstances. And it gives them, you know, St. Francis of Assisi embracing lepers. Like, they're able to do these works that are almost incomparable, I mean, difficult to understand, precisely because they've turned over their lives to God completely.
And notice how none of them are quietist either. I think sometimes yeah. people hear this and they go, oh, so you're saying just ignore politics. Well, you know what, Bo? People are dying on the streets. People are doing this and that. And I go, no, I don't think you've listened to me if you can interpret what the saints do as quietism. Because I'm actually saying not only in their lives did they do radically culturally and civilizationally transforming things. Like, we're still dealing with the ripples of St. Francis, yeah. for instance.
Yeah.
But they continue to be involved. And that to me is this real sort of crux of the matter, is we can say we're Catholic and we believe these things, but I just ask people, you know, one of my things I keep repeating here is, you say you have a personal relationship with Jesus, but to me, one of the strongest markers would that be, are you willing to have a fight with Jesus? Because everyone I have a personal relationship with, I've had a fight. Do you trust Jesus enough to, you know, actually talk to him like you think he's really alive? And I say the same about the saints. We talk about them, but we kind of act like they're old dead people that just have, you know, a lot of really cool virtues that we should imitate. And I go, no, if we believe in the communion of saints, it's not quietist to ask the saints for help. That's us believing that they can do things now. And I guess that's what I hope this show, you know, I hope it comforts those who need comforted, but I hope it afflicts those who need afflicted. And one of these afflicting questions I have for you, friends, is, do you believe the saints are real and alive and can change things now? And if so, not just as, like, sort of like magic floating fairy totems in the sky, but as citizens that are really share a bond of connection with you, citizens of the city of God, helping us here in the Vale of Tears within the city of man. We are not of the world, but we are in it, and we believe that our brothers and sisters, fellow citizens, the saints, can help us. And how many, I mean, and I that's accusing you and me too, bud. How many times do we act like they're real?
Oh, I know. Yeah. You were telling me once that, like, on your drives to and from work back in the day, you'd stop at the cemetery, right? And I always thought that sounded odd, but just, like, being overwhelmed one time with the presence of those who'd gone before us.
Yeah, you're making me sound a lot more holy. It was actually much more desperate. I had a horrible job that only met 3 times a year. This was, or 3 days a week. This was in the Great Recession. We lived in Wichita, and I drove back to Bartlesville, Oklahoma, to and fro just for 3 days a week. It's the only work I had. And there was this cemetery that seemed to pop out of nowhere. I realized the town was around the bend, and I'm just an idiot. But I thought, like, it was just this graveyard on the plane. And I stopped, and I said, like, I prayed for the souls in purgatory, and I go in, and if any of you are no longer in purgatory, like, please help me get a job, because I can't do this anymore for my family. And, within, like, a month or two, that's when I got the job at the Newman Center at Wichita State that I think has, you know, the winding road that got me here. And so, I mean, that was really cool, but I don't want to make it sound like, man, Bo is a real pious person. Actually, Bo is desperate. Maybe was hallucinating driving down a really small highway in southeastern Kansas, but it's actually there. But
how many energy drinks were you in on that?
That's right.
No, I thought when we come back, Bo, we can talk about the philosophy that informs cultures. I think sometimes for myself growing up, I thought Christianity was something like you sprinkled on an already existing world.
I love, that's perfect. So we'll get to the break when we get back. That's exactly what we'll talk about. This is The Uncommon Good. We'll be back after this. Man, that, I don't know, but other people might bring in other animals, but I'm digging the cat so far. If you want to connect with Iowa Catholic Radio and maybe tell the station manager that you need to tell the idiots to cut it out with the cat noises, you can do so on Facebook, for instance, Iowa Catholic Radio, our Twitter handle, at IA Catholic Radio. Talked about the text line already, 515-223-1150. And in all of that, if you have something particularly for the uncommon good, just put hashtag UCG. We have our Intune biweekly newsletter mailed out every other Wednesday, complete, easy-to-navigate source for station headlines, event registration, program highlights, and more, and only 2 emails per month. And then, like we said, if you go over to the patreon.com account /ICR for ICR for Iowa Catholic Radio, we have exclusive content for donors who want to donate $5 a month. This is The Uncommon Good. Stick around. We will be back after these messages.
Since 1924, St. Vincent de Paul has been helping those less fortunate work towards self-sufficiency. Last year, St. Vincent de Paul helped over 20,000 individuals with food, clothing, and shelter, while also offering classes in financial literacy, high school completion, career readiness, and prisoner reentry. SVDPDSM.org, 515-282-8327. Shop, donate, volunteer, serve. This message was brought to you by Homemakers Furniture.
Pekin Insurance provides beyond the expected service and coverage. You'll feel better knowing that you have the right insurance coverage. Pekin Insurance provided by Rob McCarger at Ligori Insurance Agency, 515-285-0370, or online at ligori-insurance.com.
Support for The Uncommon Good is provided by Cartridge World. Cartridge World is an industry leader delivering high-performance printing products that help you save time, money, and print great.
Perfect for businesses, home offices, college students, or busy moms trying to find affordable printing supplies, including ink, toner, paper, or printers. For business customers, pickup and delivery are available. Products are guaranteed or full replacement.
Cartridge World, your low-cost, environmentally friendly printing experts. 801 73rd Street in Windsor Heights, 515-564-7400, and online at cartridgeworld.com.
Support for Iowa Catholic Radio's broadcast of Dowling Catholic sports and activities is provided by Kemin, using science to improve the world.
Kemin is on the leading edge of molecular science, manufacturing more than 500 specialty ingredients used by the feed and food industries and the health, nutrition, and beauty markets.
Kemin's vision is to improve the quality of life by touching half the people of the world every day with their products and services.
Kemin, using science to improve the world. Online at Kemin.com.
We're back with The Uncommon Good. Bo Bonner and Dr. Bud Marr and our station cat that meows between our breaks. We're talking about The Uncommon Good itself. What do we mean when we talk about the uncommon good? What do we mean when we say our show is about politics? We've tried to talk about what people might think coming in and dispelling these rumors. We've been at this for a while, but anybody want to guess? I forget. Has it been 2 years yet? Year and a half?
It will be 2 years in late August.
Two years in late August. So yeah. Haven't been kicked off yet. Good for us, bud. I'm pretty proud of us on that one.
Yeah.
People ask, you know, and they want the 5-second or 30-second idea about what we do with our show. And I think with what we talked about in the first half, I'm going to start talking about it that way, Bud, is how the city of God affects the city of man. And in what ways the saints and what they've done play a role into all of that, and how that hopefully helps us in everyday life live different. Now, before we left on the break, you started to bring up, we need to talk about if we're going to be more helpful in this regard, how it's not just that Christianity is like salt and pepper or even, paprika in the big stew of a civilization, that it's something different entirely. So I throw that back to you. Where do you want to head talking about that?
Well, I guess, you know, growing up and just like learning about the faith, there were times where like the world around us seems so real in some ways, like it's what we deal with on a regular basis. And it has this kind of solidity or like immediacy to us. And I thought following Jesus was something that I kind of added on top of life as it really is. But as As I've reflected further on these matters, like, I've come to see just how important, like, I guess you could say religion or a philosophy is to informing a culture. And what I mean by that is, if you look at the world as it is, like, but what comes to mind for me is, like, why do people like to visit old European towns that have been sort of untouched by modern civilization?
Right.
And it's because there's these artifacts that are a testimony to a certain culture that existed before ours. And if you look at how they designed their buildings, like which buildings were most prominent, the art that they created, all of those things were a manifestation of what they believed about God and what they believed about human life.
Yeah, I think that we pull this number in our class that we teach at Mercy College, Student yep. Leadership. And especially when it was team taught by you and me, I thought this was to maximal effect. I still have to act like I still am informing all these students who have actually never met you that I used to teach just with the Budmar.
You can use me as a foil.
Yeah, and everybody's all like, oh, gosh, Bo's talking about that Budmar, his imaginary friend. But when we teach this, you know, and I have to give you credit for this because you made the PowerPoint something that I would never do because I hate them.
Yeah.
But you show, like, in contrast, what is at the middle of different cities?
Yeah.
So what's at the middle of these cities that you're talking about? And right in the middle, of course, is the church and the courtyard. And then what is in the middle of our cities? And people can go on for, like, 5 minutes not really saying what is at the front and center of nearly every modern, you know, city big enough to be, like, incorporated that way. And it's the financial center. And even like in the sort of architecture of these modern cities, we show that like what's central to us literally is finance. And it's never like a structure that's integrated, right? It's not the church and its courtyard and the surrounding things that make the church work. It's competing buildings that sort of shoot up in the air all, you know, on their own. And yeah, of course, they're all down there into the financial center, but they're all sort of
individuals
as well.
Yeah.
Unrelated, yeah.
Yeah.
And it's not to poo-poo on business or anything silly like that. Of course, the medieval world had business. How did that happen? Commerce, of course. The question is, what's at the center of everything? And when you make people realize that humans are prone to actually manifest their beliefs in blood, sweat, stone, and iron, that really makes people start to like think for a minute. And you go, yeah, we're serious about this incarnational stuff. Humans put into physical reality,
yeah,
the swirling ideas of their head. And I think that's what you're getting at.
Well, yeah, and I've thought about this with the direction of our own cultures. And I want to be careful, Bo, because you and I have talked about, we don't want to give people the impression that, like, well, if everyone was Christian, like, all suffering would be eliminated. Or, you know, like, this kind of caricature of cultures. There are very good things that modern Western culture has developed. But if you look at the direction where we're headed these days, and I'm thinking specifically here, like Europe and the United States. And, you know, again, another thing that would surprise our students in class, Bo, is like talk about a demographic winter, because they've heard so much about overpopulation and environmental problems that to hear that in Europe, in Russia, in Japan, that there's places that are very developed that like people for the most part have stopped having children or are having children at a lot lower rates. And you begin to ask, like, why is that the case? Well, for me, in part, Bo, and you can push back against this, but like, it seems to me that when you lose faith in God, and when this world is all that there is, like, the question becomes, do I want to bring children into it, right?
Yeah.
Like, do I want to make the sacrifices to have children if I can't guarantee a certain way of life for them, or that they could avoid all suffering? Like, why? Like, what would be the purpose, so to speak, of having children? Like, Christians always had a clear idea of the role of children in their lives. But it feels like our culture, as it's drifted from a kind of commitment to Christianity, you've seen this sort of trend.
Well, and the biggest thing I want to point out, because I think that's all true, but people miss the point when they hear that and say, like, oh, Christians think they have it all figured out. And if everybody was just Christian, everybody would be happy,
yeah,
and have all these kids. And I go, no, actually, I think what it does is Christianity says, like, yeah, you know what? We have some of the least amount of suffering ever. Like, we've done that. Technologically, we've made it where, like, if you wake up in pain, you go, like, oh, I should alleviate that pain, and there's means to do so.
Yeah.
Whereas your counterpart 1,000 years ago woke up with pain, and they're like, yep, still alive, because that's how often people were in pain. But what we're saying is that, and this is someone like Walker Percy in his, you know, book, Lost in the Cosmos is bound to point out, right? It's not that if only we would all become Christian, everything would get better. There's a way in which Christianity highlights what's worse so that we can start talking about what's real and what's important. I've always loved that Evelyn Waugh, people try to point out, like, geez, you know, you're actually kind of a terrible person. How is that any sort of, like, evangelism for Catholicism? And he's like, could you imagine the monster I would be without the Catholic faith? And in many ways, that's probably him using that as an excuse. But what I, the reason I point that out is, you know, I actually think sort of what we need to advertise with Christianity is that we're very honest that Christianity won't stop the problems of the world, but that the problems of the world can be redemptive if we have that understanding. Because if all there is avoid pain, get pleasure while you can, it's no wonder that some people choose to physician-assisted suicide at the first sign of any sort of difficulty, that if they think it's not in the end worth it. I mean, like, you know, you think about your childhood, you might think of it as the best years of your life, but there's plenty of pain wrapped up in it. And you can start to see that, like, measured with no consideration of, like, the afterlife or the grand purpose we're here or the idea of the of struggle and overcoming it, if all of those things are just, you know, the things that we have to do in order to, like, seek pleasure, you start to understand why it's hard for people to think about why we should keep going on.
Well, and you've pointed this out to me, Bo, but if you think about, like, the buildings that our forebears constructed, and just these amazing cathedrals that, like, pre the kind of construction tools that we have now, and what made that possible, and that's where I begin to understand the language in the New Testament about being a fool for Christ. I think about someone like St. Philip Neri, who was, like, a very holy man, but also a prankster. And again, this kind of freedom that the faith provides where whole communities or individual saints could say, I'm going to do something beautiful, but also grand and almost kind of like, how would you say it? Like, being a fool for Christ, like, I want to use the word incomprehensible, but what I have in mind is, like, who takes the time to build Shark Cathedral, right?
Right.
Only a community that believes that the saints who have gone before us are still among us and who believe that there's a God, I think, who, again, there's a permanence to what we do. Nothing in the eternal scheme of things is lost. And so you had, like, how did you put it to me before? Like, there's these buildings that people would build that, like, they wouldn't even see the completion of, but they have the kind of faith to say, like, we're going to do this anyway.
Yeah, I mean, I think that you say, like, okay, it's not only that, like, oh, I might not see it done. I mean, you know, when you're like, I mean, hopefully, Bud, you know, you and I live to ripe old ages, and it's not like we're going to be like, even if we weren't Christian, it's not like we're like, well, I'm, you know, 75, so forget that, I might not see it. But, you know, you go like, well, in the relative future, it will help people. No, these are people who started projects that, like, their grandkids might not see,
what
they thought were worth doing. And, you know, that people make a lot of hay out of this one, but I think it makes sense. No one thought there would ever be drones or airplanes. So, like, when you're building Shark Cathedral, no one thought anyone would see the top of it. And they made gargoyles. They etched out stones. They decorated the top of those cathedrals. Why? Because they thought there was someone who could see and appreciate it beyond just the people walking about on the ground. And what's, you know, interesting is it's not like we're the only culture that, like, figured this out at all. You can read plenty of pagan literature, and there's this great wrestling of, like, how does man, you know, how do individual humans, but how does mankind in general outlast itself? And they have different ways to talk about, you know, either passing on tradition or, you know, Romans are like, well, we got to build a society that, you know, exists for 1,000 years. You have something like the Chinese who actually believe that you made beautiful objects and, like, destroyed them, right? And in their destruction, they sort of achieved an immortality. There's many takes on this.
Yeah.
But what I'm getting at is there's a very specific, I mean, I'll be quite honest, I would take that over what we have now. But, like, what Christianity, I think, said is the sort of permanence that exists and outlasts those things takes the best of what the pagans conjured and then infused it with a supernatural reality that people did things, like you said, that they would never see any of the benefits from because they thought it was just worth it to do the good because God saw it.
Yeah.
And not even, like, what benefit they might, like, you know, get in the afterlife from it, but that there was, you know, God was worth serving. and the communion of saints was a city worth putting treasure up for, that even the idea of like what you would gain in the end was not the ultimate measure of worth. And when you get rid of that, when you make it working for the weekend, I mean, it's just not, to me, that surprising. I'm surprised at people being surprised by things like demographic winter or desperation or a lot of the things we see in the news, yeah. Bud.
Well, and Bo, feel free to push back against this one, but if someone listens to our show and then they say to us, like, so what do? What I would say in part is certainly vote. You know, write your representatives. If necessary, get arrested outside of Planned Parenthood. But beyond that, like, so this came up recently, hold a Corpus Christi procession through your church's neighborhood, right?
Right.
Like,
yeah.
Shut down a street, march the Blessed Sacrament past people, and, you know, in a sense, like, force them to think about eternity and the King of the Universe and you know, for good measure, throw in a mariachi band.
Yeah, that's, yeah.
But, like, those are the kind of things, like, those are just as political as voting in the sense that you're building a community around the most important things in life.
Yeah. Well, and when people go like, oh, well, you know, you guys say this, but why not be, you know, more inclusive and just talk about civil rights? You know, we've taught Martin Luther King Jr. in our class ever since, you know, we've been doing this class, Bud. And I think one of the things people seem to miss when we've sort of put him on a stamp and then, like, ignored him is most of his pitch was, if you say what you say about God, you can't do this to a group of people.
Yeah.
Like, if you say what you do about Jesus Christ, if you say what you do about the kingdom of heaven, if you say what you do about Christianity, what you're doing to my people's wrong. And I think that when we talk about what, you know, the political difference, I think sometimes that's what we forget is some of the people that need to hear most our quote-unquote political involvement, which again, what I'm saying is city of God, city of man, is to ask, if we believe the things we confess about our Lord Jesus Christ, what would we do? And unfortunately, I know it's really easy for both sides, left and right, to try to use that language in a sort of virtue signaling way or in a truncated or shallow way. Yeah. I just hope that our show helps people grapple deep in their heart with this question of if who we say is king, Jesus Christ, Jesus of Nazareth, dead, resurrected, right hand of the Father. If he's king, what does that make us do different? How does that make us stand out to everyone else? And that's what I hope we give people courage to do, is stand out, even among your friends. Even if everybody in your friend circle is pretty much agreed on politics, left or right, I hope that this show can help you give pause to say, if Jesus Christ is king, what do we do different?
Well, and there's a phrase that's batted around these days in Catholic circles. Not my favorite phrase, but I'm going to give it the Bud Marr spin.
Mm-hmm.
And it's the God of surprises. I think if we turn our goods and our commitments over to God completely, we'll be surprised. And what I think about, Bo, is like sometimes when you and I were teaching at Mercy College, teaching in servant leadership, I would step back and think, like, what brought me to this point where I'm in this classroom talking to this group of students, some of which have never really heard the gospel in its completeness, you know? And really, it goes back to Sister Catherine McCauley. And what would surprise our students, again, like one part of her story that we would tell is she inherited a lot of wealth through these various circumstances. And she could have just, like, said, oh, I'm going to turn over some of this to a soup kitchen, or I'm going to give it to a charity, you know.
Yeah, she would have been a good person still.
Would have been a good person, but she said, no, I'm going to be profligate, and I'm going to turn my entire life over to God. And through that, like you mentioned the phrase ripple effect earlier, like you think about all of the convents that came out of that. There were Irish sisters who said, we're going to travel to a land that we've never been and serve the poorest of the poor. And now in the heart of Des Moines, there's a medical center that serves people from all backgrounds because Sister Catherine was willing to go beyond, like, just giving a token of it away, right?
Yeah, and I know I'm prone to being the person that throws out books and, you know, essays and stuff. If you go to the old Google and put in Simon Leys, L-E-Y-S, and put in the title, The Imitation of Our Lord Don Quixote, I'm not even going to spell that. I mean, if you get there, I'm just proud of you. I mean, this is radio, but, you know, good job. He points out this wonderful idea that Christianity is a religion of losers. And it's funny because who's the guy who owned the Braves?
Ted Turner.
Yeah, Ted Turner said this about Christianity one time. He said, it's a religion of losers.
And he thought it was a great burn.
Yeah, and he was just like, eat it, Christians.
Gotcha.
Yeah, and Simon Lace was like, this is exactly right, because losers, since they're not beholden to the world, since like they're not in it to like constantly get the vindication of the world, since their dreams and desires outstrip the world, they can keep being foolish and actually change the world. And I thought that was so interesting, right? Winners are kind of wedded to a world in a way where they hamstring themselves, but because we're the religion of the God who lost, right? But lost well, died on the cross so that he might be raised, so that every knee shall bend and every tongue confess his name, that Jesus Christ is Lord. Since we're that religion, we can do foolish things and not count the cost. And I think that that's what you're saying, right? When we hear Jesus in the Beatitudes say, give without expecting in return, like we too woodenly think, like, I wonder if I'll get my $20 back. But you look at like Sister Catherine McCauley, and she just stopped worrying about it. She just said, we're going to do this. It wasn't even a like hemming and hawing. It was that it's not even worth considering. It just went away from her mind. And I hope that our show embodies some of that. I really hope, I think that you can say this with Iowa Catholic Radio, the 10 plus years we've been around, is people really just said, stop worrying about the return on this and do this for the Lord. And I hope that's what our show gets across for people.
Well, speaking of books, Bo, I keep praying that you'll write a book. You throw out this phrase sometimes, ruin your life well. And I want to hear like the definitive take in 200 pages. But like when I hear you use that phrase, what I think about is like we all know that we're going to die. Like there's no way of escaping that fact. And Jesus reminds his listeners of this and says, like, look, there's been guys who worked 60 hours a week and they stored up all these treasures. And then they said, like, now I'm going to sit back and enjoy it. And they didn't realize like that very life, your life will be demanded of you. And so knowing that we're going to die, but knowing that God has promised us, a lasting city, like, how do we ruin our lives well? How do we, in a sense, like, organize our lives that we have the right kind of difficulties to be the person that God intends us to be?
Yeah, and, you know, this goes back to the Philippian hymn that God, that Jesus Christ poured himself out, emptied himself, taking on the form of a slave for our sake. And that's all there is. You're going to ruin your life because you're going to wear it out. So you can ruin your life, you know, with jet skis and bad champagne. I don't know who I have in mind there, but you're just throwing that out. Or you can run it the way that Jesus has marked out for you. And in the same way, as you're going to pour yourself out, you're going to give yourself to something. Why not pour it out in imitation of our Lord to, as he puts, an investment that not only has infinite return, but that no moth or no thief can take away from you. So that's the hope for the uncommon good. And we had to swivel because we had a guest cancel, and like I said, prayers with Dr. Doug Fiore that his voice returns. But it was nice to really get to talk about it this way. I know we talked about this early in the iteration of the show, but it's nice after these almost 2 years to reflect on it again.
Yeah, I feel like it is nice on the show occasionally to step back and to think about first things. Of course, we love having these different guests, wonderful guests on the show. But it's always a blast to just sort of chew the fat with you as well.
Yeah, that's right. So back off, Katie. You haven't taken our show yet.
This is really just like marking our territory.
Yeah, this is like, all right, Katie Patrizio, good talk, but we're back to talking about the uncommon.
Oh,
yeah. No, right. She's going to have her own show, and it's going to demolish ours someday. Don't worry about it. Mark that bet, folks. Katie Patrizio, future Hall of Fame radio personality. This has been The Uncommon Good for Dr. Bud Maher. This is Bo Bonner. May Jesus Christ, the Prince of Peace, reign in your heart, in our hearts, in our families, our city, our state, the nation, the entire world, the entire cosmos. This is The Uncommon Good. We will see you back next week. I don't know if I'm ever going to get over that.
Yeah, I loved it for this show. I'm going to keep brainstorming other ideas.
Well, I want people to like. I want to hear other people talking about what animals they want.
I feel like we're holding people's hand to the fire now. Like, let us know, or it's going to be a cat's meow.
That's right. Or we'll get a more silent animal. That's like a shrew's sneeze or something like this. So, come up with a good animal.
Just like crickets chirping. No, that'd be terrible for radio.
Yeah, don't do that one, bud. Yeah. I don't know how we recover from this. Facebook, Iowa Catholic Radio, our Twitter handle, at IA Catholic Radio. The Zip Whip Line, 515-223-1150, hashtag UCG if you want to talk to us. We have the Patreon account where you can help us get Bud out of the well, www.patreon.com/ICR. The InTune bi-weekly newsletter, and then, of course, we have all of the stuff coming up here soon. The big one I think everybody's looking for is the Iowa State Fair, where we'll have a booth the 9th through the 19th. And then the Christ Our Life conference coming up in September. But if people want to make the Iowa Catholic Radio a part of their lives, what can they listen to?
You know, I'm going to give our listeners a challenge this week. You know, like with Lent, we often say I'm going to adopt these spiritual disciplines to grow closer to God. Why not say for the next 40 days, I'm going to set my alarm for 5 a.m. and start the day with Catholic Bible in a Year, move into the Rosary, and then the Angelus, and say, like, I'm going to make this commitment to pray. I'm going to use Iowa Catholic Radio as my accountability partner.
I love it, Bud, and it's I think that people should hear that shout out as a wonderful way for a challenge to grow deeper in the faith. I don't want to like make a challenge on this one, but I'll throw out that if you like what we're doing, you want to be a part of our ministry. You don't have to get on the radio and have a show. By your donations, we're able to get this ministry of Jesus Christ broadcast out 24/7. Goes through walls. If you want to consider giving, that can be a part of our ministry. And as always, for Bud, thanks, man, for coming back. It's good to hear your voice after being gone for a week.
Yeah, be safe this 4th of July, and I guess try to keep the kids from lighting fireworks off of your trunk.
This is The Uncommon Good. We'll see you next week.
The Uncommon Good with Bo Bonner and Dr. Bud Maher is heard every week on wonderful Catholic stations like this one and anytime on podcast. Just search for The Uncommon Good.